Baseball season is back. The 2017 season is finally underway, and no better way to celebrate than with Out of the Park Baseball 18 and MLB Manager 2017. Both of those games help bring you this week's episode of the Press Row Podcast. Hey everybody, Rich Grisham here. We are so excited at Out of the Park Developments for our two new baseball games. You guys probably know all about Out of the Park Baseball 18. If you don't, well, why not? It's the follow-up to the 2016 Metacritic PC Game of the Year. This year's game has a whole bunch of cool new features, including a new challenge mode so you can battle against your friends. It includes the addition for the first time ever in any game, the addition of the Historic Negro League, so you can take all those great players from the past and have them compete with or against the major leaguers of their time or before or afterwards. It's got a great updated 3D engine, which allows the gameplay itself to unfold in a really cool, nifty way. And it's got highlight reels now, which are completely new, and just so much more stuff. And you guys also probably know that you can play any team, any season, major league or minor leagues, from the late 1870s through 2017, including the latest rosters from opening day 2017. It's unbelievable. And MLB Manager lets you take Out of the Park Baseball with you anywhere you go on your phone or your iPad, or either iPhone or Android device or the iPad. MLB Manager is only $4.99. It's got a brand new visual look and feel. It's got the 2017 season. It's got three historic past seasons, 1927, 1948, or 1997. And you can get any other season you want for just 99 cents. You can get 10 for $5, or every season dating back to 1901 for just $19.99. MLB Manager 2017 available now for $4.99 on the Apple iTunes Store or the Android Store, Google Play. And Out of the Park Baseball 18 available through our website. And if you use the code PRESS18, we'll give you an extra 10% off. And you get it through Steam as well. Out of the Park Baseball 18, MLB Manager 2017, proudly bringing you this week's episode of the Press Row Podcast. Enjoy the show.
Well, we've made it to one of the most exciting times of the year for video game fans, but also for those who love sports, as the majority of those games for the year are on the horizon. With E3 and now EA Play, there's this great opportunity to unveil big features and show these games off to the public for the first time. Welcome to the Press Row Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Weedye, Pasta Padre. In this episode, I'm going to be joined by Rich Grisham and TJ Lowerman. We're going to discuss everything that came out of the EA Play press briefing. Madden NFL 18, FIFA 18, and NBA Live 18, they all appeared, and they all had trailers released showing off features that had not been touched on until now. Well, we're going to offer some quick reactions in this episode. We'll be going deeper into everything from EA Play as well as E3 in the coming days. Right now, we can only touch on the news from the presentation and the trailers, but there's a lot to come before this week is up, and we're going to go into all of that in the next episode with an even larger panel. So before we get to those three games specifically, Madden, FIFA, NBA Live, what were your thoughts on the EA press briefing in general? What did you like or dislike from it? What did you take out of it? Or how did you feel about how everything was presented? Rich Grisham, lead us off tonight.
Well, doing one of these press conferences is an extremely complex event. You have to weave together 20 or so speakers, multiple technologies, audio, video, teleprompters, crowds. It's crazy, which is why most of the time these things are a disaster because it's very easy for any or all of those things to go wrong. Not to mention, and that's just during the conference, much less, you know, the themes and the and the things that are chosen to be done, right? We've seen hundreds of cringeworthy E3 press conferences over the course of the last 10 years or so. More often than not, I'm embarrassed when I watch any conference when it comes to E3. And I'm not joking. More often than not, I'm embarrassed as a person who enjoys video games. I'm embarrassed as a representative of this industry sometimes. You know, I'm embarrassed for my kid sometimes because so many of these conferences are difficult. So having said that, I thought the EA Play conference, I think is technically what it was called, overall was not cringeworthy. it was very straightforward, and it got right to the point with what they're all about, which is just making these big games with multiple ways to play them. Big games, big franchises. I mean, what's bigger than the Premier League and the Bundesliga and the NFL and the NBA and Star Wars? I mean, just big, big, big. And so overall, I thought it was well executed. I'm not going to say it was wildly entertaining, but for what EA has to show and offer, and for the fact that they're not an entertainment conference company, they're a video game company, I thought overall they did a really good job.
TJ, tell me what you thought of the EA Play press briefing.
Yeah, I agree with Rich. I thought it was very well done. No real big hiccups. I mean, there was one little one when they had one of their content creators come on. But I think we all know that talking into a webcam is a lot different than talking in front of a whole group of people, as I've been terrified at PAX East when we've had had crowds in front of me. Yeah, I thought they showed off everything. Everything looked good that they showed off. The one thing that really stood out to me outside of sports games was the kind of TikTok way that they're handling Battlefield and Battlefront, where they're having them each go. Like, you're going to have, you have Battlefield 1 come out 1 year, or, and then the next year you have Battlefront 2 come out, but also on top of that, you're also getting a huge update to Battlefield 1 instead of just a new game, which has always been the thing I didn't love about, like, Call of Duty. It's like you're playing three games, but they are just coming out new game, new game, new game every year.
Right.
And this really lets you, you know, if you really loved Battlefield 1, you don't have to go learn a new Battlefield game. You're just getting more content in the game that you already love. And I really like that they're doing that. I wish sports games 1 year could get to that point. But I don't think the way licensing works and stuff, we're ever going to get that. Though it would be nice if they could do that with some of their smaller sports titles. So like if 2018 they put out UFC 3 and then 2019 they put out the next golf game, but also at the same time have a huge UFC patch to update stuff, because I don't think there's going to be, like, we know in sports games, in the 9 months that they have to put out some new mode to try to get you to buy the next game. If instead they had 2 years, and in that one, that first year, they could just do something, some great stuff to make the game better, and then have a full redo the next year, I think that would be a much better play for sports games. But again, I don't think the licensing is going to work that out.
Yeah,
but I like how they're doing that with their Battlefield and Battlefront stuff.
Yeah, and it's also difficult to keep people's interest in a sports game that long, because you move on to the next one, or a season ends, or, but like your examples there, UFC would be a good one, although they're probably working, you know, constantly towards the next full game. And these other types of games, shooters and such, they have separate teams working on each one, so it just gives them a little more flexibility, whereas with leagues and such, they're very much mandated within certain time frames, when to release, when to move on, things of that nature. So it's definitely, it's more complicated in the world of sports. But on the positive side of that is we have consistency with most of these sports games that we know when they're going to release. They're going to release every year. We know they're going to be incrementally improved upon, more so than giant leaps necessarily. But what we are seeing with Madden, at least this year, is this is a big year for Madden. This is a very different product than what we've gotten in the past, because it's transitioning to the Frostbite engine. So we know visually, as we saw with FIFA 17, we know that it's going to look better than it has, which is a big thing. I mean, a lot of people say you gotta, gameplay is number one and all that, and it's true to an extent, but how the game is sold upon is done in a lot of ways visually. And so that's an important step there. And then beyond the Frostbite engine, what that also, well, not even beyond it, because it's what allows for it to happen, is this brand new story mode. And so the story mode was the big focus of the day at EA Play for Madden NFL 18. And we know now a lot more about it than we did before, when it was just teased in the first trailer. It's going to be called Long Shot. It's got some big name actors. It's got some licensed colleges. And then it's very similar in structure to FIFA 17 story mode. It's going to be a single pre-built character that you play certain elements through an already designed narrative, and you're going to have interactive moments, but it's not necessarily going to be like a traditional career mode. It's more of a story mode. You're playing through the story. So some, like I mentioned, some big names. Mahershala Ali, who just won an Academy Award for Moonlight. Scott Porter, who a lot of people know from Friday Night Lights. Dan Marino has a role in the story. So EA went all out to really do this authentically. And again, FIFA's story mode was lauded for that. It was somewhat grounded. It had emotional elements to it, and I think they're going the same route here with Madden. What we've learned since the press conference is that this actual story mode takes place between the scouting combine and the NFL draft. There's high school elements, there's college elements. It's unclear exactly how much of that you'll actually be playing, if any of it at all. It could just be flashbacks. But a lot of interesting things to go on here. And I'm curious to get some thoughts on what you think of this reveal of the story mode, because there's also one thing I want to talk about, which we learned afterwards also, is that, like I said, it takes place between the combine and the draft, so you don't actually ever play in the NFL in this story mode. So we'll get to that, though. Rich, first impressions after seeing the trailer for Long Shot.
So I am so happy about this. Not for the reasons I think you might initially think. Todd Zuniga is a friend of mine. Like, he is a legitimately good friend of mine, has helped me in tremendous ways over the last 10 years when he was doing the Sports Game Guys, Sports Anomaly, which became Fourth String, invited me to participate in that. And then afterwards, we did some really, he helped me tremendous ways in some other areas. And Mike Young, who's a creative director at Tiburon, I can't say he's a friend of mine, but he has certainly been, I've known him for years. He's been on this show multiple times, a very creative guy. And one of the shows that he was on, he and Todd Zuniga were both talking about how 20 years ago or 25 years ago, they would write newspapers about their Sega NHL leagues. You know, they would, and it would be completely over the top and crazy with ridiculous stories and stuff. What we're seeing is literally the culmination of that in this. And I don't want to say I had that, but I'm pretty confident in saying I had that. On this show, multiple times, I've said what would be really fascinating to see would be one of these games just build a completely separate story or separate mode that it's not deeply involved in grinding and in practice modes and in games, just 2 or 3 or 4 hours, or something completely different as a new way to experience the game. And this is what's happened. And I didn't say that because I had any insight into this. This is all new to me. I didn't know. I haven't spoken with Todd or Mike in quite some time. So I have no idea if it's going to be good. I expect it to be really good because I'm sure that Mike Young and Todd Zuniga have been working on this for years and have spent incredible amounts of time and energy on it. So I'm just excited completely from that perspective. Like, this just, to me, I look at this and I find out that Todd had a big part of doing this with Mike, and I'm just so happy for those guys, and I can't wait to see what they've got cooking.
Yeah, it's interesting. I get a lot of responses from people when I post about story modes and such. They're saying they don't personally care about story modes and they need to focus on other areas of the game. And I think it's important to look at why these companies are going towards story modes. And it's because, really, it's for marketing purposes, but also because they are popular. This gives them something that's easily marketable. They can put trailers out, they can do commercials for. But also it beats back that constant calling of it's the same game every year with a roster update. When you put a new story mode in every year, you can't make that complaint about any of these games, even though we know it's never been true for the most part, with a few exceptions. But it gives them the opportunity to kind of show off the game in a new light every year. So it doesn't surprise me they're putting resources in here. I think it's fun. It becomes a diversion, but also it gives them an opportunity to tie into Ultimate Team. I'm sure that there's elements here, characters that you're going to actually see transfer over to Ultimate Team when you finish, which is exactly what they did with FIFA's The Journey and Alex Hunter. He became somebody you could use in Ultimate Team. So they can work that together, taking a different angle with it. TJ, give me your first reactions to what you think Madden's putting out there with the story mode.
Yeah, it looks good. It looks like a good first shot. It did seem very scripted, and I kind of want...
Yeah.
I feel like I want something a little bit more than that from these story modes nowadays. But obviously in the first shot, I think that's all we're going to get. And I guess that's how the journey was. The journey was one of the things I really wanted to see last year, and then I ended up never playing it. So I was...
TJ.
Hey, man.
You've got EA Access, right, man?
I don't need... No, man. I don't turn my Xbox on anymore.
Oh.
I let my my Live, my EA Access expire.
Oh.
Okay, so here's the...
I'm the opposite. All I do is play my Xbox anymore. I barely turn on my PS4
right. Well,
because of EA.
This week, actually, till the 18th, I got a press release about this. I don't know if they've gone live on the PS4 yet, but apparently until the June the 18th, EA has a bunch of games you can play for free. On Xbox One, you can play all the Vault games for free, even if you're not a subscriber. On PS4, they have what they're calling trial versions of Madden, FIFA, UFC, and a few other games that you can download and play, I believe, unlimited until the 18th. So maybe there's your chance, TJ. You got to get and play The Journey while you can.
I mean, I have FIFA.
Oh, I didn't know it. Didn't even have to go into that then, TJ.
I would just own FIFA.
That's information that would have been helpful earlier.
I mean, I am that sports gamer, so I'm not sure why you were confused. As you said, this seems like it's only going to be a very short kind of timeline thing.
Yes.
Which, that's good, because that's kind of what I'm looking for in single-player modes. That's the thing that's recently turned me off in... You know, Road to the Show, where, yeah, it's cool they've added this stuff, but still Road to the Show, you know, if you figure if you're a good baseball player, you're going to have a 15-year career or something.
It's never ending, really.
Yeah, and the thing I always loved was the Road to Glory in NCAA football, because you knew you're starting as a freshman, and there's a graduation point. That you know there's a definitive end to this, and I'm excited to see that in come to Madden. In a mode where I can play a little bit. I assume at the end I will just take on him and play the rest of his career, I would guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
If that would just, like, create a road to... I don't even know. What are they even called? Single-player thing now? I assume it would just kind of build into one of those at some point.
Normal, yeah, the franchise mode as a player. Yeah.
Player franchise, I guess it is.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Rich Grisham here. We're going to take just a moment to thank our sponsors for this week, HelloFresh. These guys do a fantastic job, and I am now a customer, and you can help the Press Row podcast and have some great meals, and we'll tell you how to do that at the end of this. So real quick, let me tell you what HelloFresh is. They are on a mission to save home cooking because it's just too good to go away. They want to make cooking more fun, so they focus on the whole experience, not just the final plate. So they think of themselves as three different kind of companies all at one. Number one, a farm-to-box company, because they want everyone to have access to fresh ingredients that inspire great meals. But they're also a couch-to-kitchen company, because they think the best way to kick those 5 p.m. excuses is by feeling unstoppable in the kitchen. And third, they are a fork-to-feel-good company, because when you cook and eat delicious and healthy meals, you're going to want to keep doing it again and again. And I can vouch for this because HelloFresh sent us a big old box with several meals, and it came in an insulated box, and it had the frozen ice packs in there, which kept everything nice and fresh. And those, by the way, are reusable. So we tossed them into the freezer, and we actually wound up using them when we went to the beach a few days later. They offer different things, a classic box, a veggie box, and a family box. You can order 3, 4, or 5 different meals per week designed for either 2 or 4 people. New recipes are created every week. In 6 easy-to-master steps, they get you chopping, zesting, and cooking like a natural, because most of the recipes take just 30 minutes and require minimal equipment, and this is totally legit. As I mentioned, my wife and my son, he's 9, he was working with her, and they got all the stuff out, and they chopped, and they zested, and they cooked, and they did everything that they had to do, and it was a really, really great meal at the end, and I am now officially a HelloFresh customer. So the way that you can help us out is simple. All you got to do, you got to go to HelloFresh.com and enter the code PRESSROW30 when you subscribe. When you do that, you get $30 off your first week of deliveries. That is a great savings. So HelloFresh.com, enter PRESSROW30 when you subscribe. This is a really good service. It really makes life easier and better. You know, if you want to have a good meal, but you want to prepare it and you want to sort of get everybody in the kitchen, this is a fantastic way to do it, and it's cost-effective, too. For less than $10 a meal, you're going to have much better dinner than if you were, you know, to do that guilty pleasure, drive on over to that fast food place or order that same pizza that you've had 4 times in the last 8 days. Check out HelloFresh.com, enter the promo code PRESSROW30, get $30 off your first week of deliveries. Thanks, everybody. Thank you, HelloFresh. Thank you for listening to the Press Row podcast, and enjoy the rest of the show.
I think Journey, what did that take, Rich? About 3 to 4 hours?
I never finished it. Yeah. I never finished it. I can. I mean, I'm playing FIFA now, but I'm just enjoying playing as my Everton career. And I'm trying to win. I'm about 10 matches left in my first season trying to win the Premier League, but it looks like I'll fall just short. I always say I'm going to go back to it, but I don't know. I had no problem with it. I certainly played it for a couple, 2 or 3 hours. I sort of fell out of it right around the time where you go on your tour of the United States. I will say, and if we're switching over to this in full, I mean, I was very impressed with the FIFA trailer and the Men in Blazers section. Like, I don't know if you're a fan of Men in Blazers at all. I am. I'm not a super fan by any stretch. I don't listen to the show regularly. But whenever I do listen to it, I always enjoy it. And I was really impressed by the trailer for the Journey 2. Definitely a very interesting take, very creative to sort of make him now. He's a superstar, right, in the second go-round of it. I like that, and I'm assuming you're not tied to Chelsea because they showed him as a player for Chelsea. I'm assuming that just like in the first one, you can pick your club. Because man, I do not want to be tied to Chelsea. Although I guess if the crux of it is being able to leave if you want to, that's good, right?
Yeah, so the theme is you're working towards a transfer. It sounds like so.
So, I mean, I'm not going to purport to be excited about it, but I am certainly impressed with what they're doing. I mean, this is cool. Whether you know this is your thing or not, this is cool that this is what's happening now in these big-time sports games. It's not all about Ultimate Team. It is about getting more people to play the games, which is what everybody wants. Yeah. Everybody that does this wants more people to play their games, and this is how to do it.
Yeah, it's important, too, because another factor in why these are popular modes is because pretty much anyone can play them. You don't have to have played Madden for a decade and have just this knowledge of mechanics and knowledge of football basics and advanced strategies and everything that's happening on the field. You don't need to know all those things to play a story mode where you're playing one character, and often it's just certain scenarios it's putting you into where it either wants you to succeed or wants you to fail based on where the story is going.
And I have direct anecdotal evidence of two very different people. I have a friend of my son's who's 9 who got recently for his birthday a PS4 and NBA 2K. I actually gave him my copy of last year's NBA 2K game because I'm done with it, and I gave it to him. And he was over at the house yesterday. He and my son were playing, and he mentioned, "Oh, you know, Mr. Rich, I got drafted by the Clippers, and I'm now the guy, and I'm terrible, but I'm working on getting better." And he's just loving it. And there's no way, you know, that he would be playing a 5-on-5 like at that age. He's not. he doesn't watch basketball like that. I mean, a few kids do, but very few do. And conversely, a guy that I work with who is not a video game guy, similar story. For his birthday, his wife got him a PlayStation 4 and he got NBA 2K, and he's playing the career mode. And he texted me the other night of his latest stats. He's in year two and he loves the grind. And these are two examples of people that would not be playing this game, that in this case it's NBA 2K, but it could apply to Madden or FIFA. These are people who wouldn't normally play this game who are invited into the experience by these modes.
Rich, can I build off of that for a second? One of the things I noticed about the event today was that there was nothing about NHL. And apparently word on the street is during the NHL awards, I believe it's June 21st, they're going to be showing off NHL 18 stuff there. And what that got me thinking about was, and people were saying that would hit more of their target audience if they release it then. Which, of course, yes, you will hit more hockey fans if you do it with the NHL awards. But as you're saying, you know, I feel like NHL is, from EA's standpoint, probably the lowest of the sports games. Mm. I mean, they keep trying NBA. I don't know why they keep trying NBA for sometimes, but
we'll get to that. Yeah.
It seems like NHL is like the low one on their totem pole right now. So I really thought that having it at EA Play to show off in front of a much larger general crowd than just the people that will be watching the NHL awards thing would have been a smart move. And I'm really worried for that game that they didn't seem to have enough to show at this show.
Well, I'm not worried about it, but to add further to your point, TJ, tomorrow night is game 6 of the Stanley Cup Finals. Like, yeah, if there's a time where sports fans are thinking about hockey, it's literally right now. Mm-hmm. You know, game 6, game 7, Sidney Crosby, you know, PK Subban, like, this is the time, which is now, of course, I'm upset that we didn't get franchise hockey manager front and center at EA Play. Although I guess that wouldn't have made any sense, obviously, because
I mean, we could be an EA original. I mean, someone would have to talk to them.
I would sign up for that. So, I'm with you. Conversely, I guess, right, they have to analyze, well, what do they want to do? And I'm not worried for the game. Like you say, that makes you worried for the game. I'm not worried for the game at all. I'm pretty confident that NHL is on solid footing. It has a really strong core group of supporters that are helping drive the development of it, very community-based. And so I'm not worried about the game NHL at all. And, yeah, it would have been nice to see it on there. And, again, it's Stanley Cup Finals. I get why they're doing it. So I'm with you, but I the only thing where I differ with you is I'm not worried about NHL. I'm sure it's going to be fine.
Okay, so the other game that got mentioned there was NBA Live. And we'll probably hit on more of the Madden and FIFA as we go, but NBA Live is a series, obviously, it hasn't released more often than it has in the last 7 years. So EA has to find a way to kind of reestablish credibility. It's not competing with NBA 2K right off the bat, obviously. They just need to put out a credible game that's decent and offers something interesting. So what they announced with NBA Live 18 at EA Play was they went into what's called the One, which is their new career mode. It has different elements that tie into that. They had some other gameplay improvements. They announced a demo for August, which was pretty much necessary because nobody's going to buy this game without trying it. And then, you know, the one thing I took away from it was, I wonder, because we've discussed this many times on the show, like, what does NBA Live do to differentiate itself? It can't just be what NBA 2K is. It can't just offer the same type of features. And what I see, at least based off the trailers and the way they're talking about it, is going the direction of streetball. The influence of streetball and just seeing the way they're tying it into their career mode and how it's such a big focus in the trailers. I wonder if streetball isn't more of a focus going forward. And I look at NBA 2K, and that's not really an NBA game either anymore. That's that game is about your guy. It's about taking your guy into the park, into Pro-Am, into the NBA through their story and career modes. So it's interesting to me that the NBA games maybe aren't traditional sports games anymore, or at least league sports games anymore. Whereas FIFA, Madden, they incorporated a little more, and then you just kind of offshoot it with the other modes and Ultimate Team. But NBA is really kind of taking their own paths, and it's much more of maybe a cultural type of product than the other sports games are. That's just the way I feel about it after seeing what they put out there. I'm curious where you guys think NBA Live is going based on today, Rich.
Well, NBA 2K is three completely different games. It really is. I mean, if Take-Two wanted to, and maybe they will in 2 or 3 years, they'll just have a platform, and on that platform you'll have NBA 2K, you'll have NBA 2K My Player, you'll have NBA 2K The Park, because those are such different games. What I play in NBA 2K is 5-on-5. That's what I do. I enjoy it, but I don't really play the story mode very much, and I don't go to the park, and I don't do the other stuff. But I'm in the minority, the vast minority, because the park and My Player are so much more popular.
They don't like you, Rich, because all you do is buy the game.
But that's okay. That's okay. Like, the fact is, they keep supporting that, right? I don't ever feel shortchanged. Maybe I should, but
or
I don't.
One day.
Right. Maybe I will be, but I'm not now, and I haven't been for years. You know what I mean? Like, the reason that I didn't play as much NBA 2K this year had very little to nothing to do with on-court gameplay dissatisfaction. I don't remember being unhappy. I think when it launched, you know, there were a few little issues here and there that I didn't love, but by no means was I unhappy with the game. It just sort of didn't strike a chord with me this year, and other things did, including Pro Evolution, which was my complete sports game obsession for about 5 months straight. So, you know, having said that, that's to me, that's the real challenge with NBA Live, is what do you want to be? Because you really need to be great at 3 or 4 things, not just one thing. Like, if they're great at 5-on-5, but the majority of people don't care about 5-on-5, well, wait a second. If the majority of people are about defining their own character and they're trying to sort of build off of a similar vibe with My Player, okay, but then where does that leave the people who just want to be 5-on-5? That's even, to me, the bigger challenge is, what does NBA Live want to be, and where does it send its resources? From the material I see, there's three ways to play the game. There is the single player. There's the My Career mode or My Player mode, where you are creating your guy and he is your online persona. Then there is the franchise, and then there is the Ultimate Team.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be hard to be really good at all three of those things, especially when those three things are still a subset of what NBA 2K does really well, which is almost 5 things if you throw in the single player career mode. So I just don't know. It's been such a long, hard road for EA's NBA franchise. You know, you see Sean O'Brien walk out there and talk about it, and you feel for the guy because he's in a situation where he is once again pitching a redo. This is their third reboot of a basketball franchise, in an era where there's a dominant player who shows no signs of that dominance being reduced. So, tough spot, and I'm curious to see what's happening, but I'm not looking at this with rose-colored glasses by any means.
Yeah, I don't really see it based off what they presented today. I thought they would do something, like I said, it'd have to be more unique. They have to give you some reason to want this instead of 2K, or want it alongside of 2K, and I don't see that with what they showed us today. That doesn't mean the game is going to be bad. I didn't think NBA Live 16 was bad. It was just very difficult to justify buying when there was a far superior product already on the market for the same price, right? So that's where we come into the dilemma that is with competition. We don't have competition in NFL. We have it in soccer, but that's a worldwide kind of fight, and both games can coexist in their own ways. We don't have it in NHL. We don't have it in baseball. But it has to be, in terms of the feature set, it has to be different. And I'm not really seeing it with this yet. Again, that could change. But I was a little underwhelmed by what they showed today. TJ, you're more of a casual type of basketball game fan, right?
Yeah, and one of the things that kind of turned me off again from playing basketball is, as we know, the pickup and play ability of NBA 2K is just not really there. Like, you can do a little bit, but if you're not just dedicated to learning those controls and learning all the little moves that you have to do and the Euro, like the differences between the Euro hop and the regular and all that stuff. Like, cause I remember a couple of years ago when I was like, I'm going to dedicate myself to playing NBA. And I played through all the tutorials and stuff, and I played for like 4 days straight, and I was like, this is really good. Then I didn't play for like 3 days, and I completely lost everything, and it was not fun anymore. and that's why I've actually liked the last couple live games, just because they seem to have a much simpler control scheme, much easier to learn. And then they go into their first gameplay demo, and it's like, okay, so I'm going to flick the stick left, and then he's also going to flick the stick left to go against me, but then I can come back, and now we're going to flick the stick right, and we're going to go past him, and then we're going to use the right stick to shoot with our left hand. And yeah. I was like, this is not what I want from a basketball game. This is why I loved NBA NBA Live 2003. You had your right stick was just your
dribble.
That was your dribble. That was the first year I think they broke out the dribble stick or whatever they called it there, and I really loved it, and I loved how that game's controls, and I feel like no game has ever made it as simple and easy for someone to pick up and play. That's why I think a game like NBA Playgrounds is going to be better for people that like basketball and just want to have like a little bit of fun. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and you know, as Rich said, Sean O'Brien came out there, and the first thing he said was like, hey, we completely overhauled this game in the last 2 years. It's like, well, then what were you doing? What was the whole plan for the three versions that actually shipped before that? Because after 3 years, you made a game that you couldn't make more than three copies of. And so now we're doing it again. I think I've said it every time they've released something about NBA Live. Watching NBA Live is why I am terrified for them to try to bring back MVP baseball. Because I would not want that to happen to a game that I loved a lot, and I used to love NBA Live.
Yeah, it's not going to happen,
and
for exactly those reasons.
Yeah,
right?
I used to love NBA Live, and now I don't like it that much anymore.
It takes so much work to make something that works on modern platforms. I don't even get it, right? Like, but I have at least some sort of understanding because, you know, for 20 years I've worked with large companies that made large software initiatives, right? So I understand it, but I haven't made video games to the scale of a Madden or a Battlefront or a FIFA. Like, these are enormous efforts by hundreds of people that you don't start from scratch. So to build a baseball game for a PlayStation 4/Xbox One architecture that would come close to capturing what you need from a mechanics and a crowd and a stadium, forget about it. It's impossible. If you don't already have a modern engine, it's impossible.
Yeah, I just don't understand how. Well, I think NBA Live 9 was still good. Like, it was all right.
NBA Live 09 was okay. NBA Live 10 was pretty good.
Yeah, but from there, they've just... I don't know how they spiraled so far out of control in this last decade.
There's a whole story.
Yeah, we've done podcasts on this, TJ. It was tragic what happened, and they just haven't been able to regain their footing. Another thing about NBA Live and also NHL could explain why it wasn't necessarily front and center is no frostbite for either of those two games, from what I've heard. So NBA Live, the trailers, the footage they showed looked like NBA Live. It looked like NBA Live 16 and 15, and going all the way back. And
NHL, by the way, the whole free demo thing, that's a play they ran last time as well. So that's not new.
Right. The demo.
Don't forget, there was a demo of NBA Elite 11. Yes. And that's what killed that game.
Yeah, that's the thing. I actually put that in my story today, was that, you know, demos generally evoke.
Don't exist anymore.
Well, yeah, not anymore. But when they did, it was like a sign of confidence in the product. That hasn't been the case for NBA Live. Look, NBA Elite 11's demo led to its demise. And NBA Live 16, for example, had a demo and no one bought it. So the demo is good, but it's necessary because not everybody has EA access to play it beforehand. There's so much competition in September that getting people to play the game a little bit in August makes a lot of sense. So, but yeah, their demo in August. So there is that, I guess, to look forward to. Worst case scenario, you don't buy it.
It really is fascinating. I mean, I guess if you make more than, you know, if you make four or six games, by default, there's got to be one that's the best and one that's not the best, you know, one that's on the bottom. You know, looking at how polished and big those different franchises are that EA rolled out, Battlefield, Battlefront, the new IP that they rolled out based upon one of the best games I ever played, Brothers: A Tale of Two Sons, that new one that looks interesting.
Yeah.
And, you know, Madden and FIFA, you know, NBA is just such clearly a little black sheep. It's just fascinating how it keeps getting rolled out there. It's just amazing to watch. It's so unlike any other gaming franchise that I can think of. It's such, you know, the Live story continues to be this unique tale unlike anything I've ever seen.
Okay, so I think that'll do it for now. We talked a little Madden, we talked a little FIFA, we talked a little NBA Live, we talked some NHL. So we're going to get into all those games and then others, those that are going to show up in the Microsoft press conference, those that are going to show up in Sony's, stuff from the actual E3 show floor. E3 is a big event. I mean, a lot of these companies have pulled out. Others just don't have the resources to show up to it. But there's going to be stuff coming out within the next few days. That will be included, and we'll get much more into these things. We'll also have people who have spent time playing them on the next episode to give some thoughts on the game. So thank you for tuning in. Rich Grisham, thank you. TJ Lowerman, thanks as always. We'll be back in a few days with another episode of the Press Row Podcast. Take care. Till then.